Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on Twitter X Spaces for the final segment of each show. The 3-4 Virginia Tech Hokies, they're going to host the 4-3 Syracuse Orange this Thursday at 7:30 in Blacksburg. Both teams coming off of a bye, so some fresh legs for both sides of the ball. We'll let you know what we think about that, and we'll give you our always accurate final score predictions and hear from you as well in regards to how you think this game's going to end up at the end of the night on Thursday. So, not much from Coach's Presser. I guess really the only thing I perked my ears was Joe Moore is going to be available. I'm not sure what at what capacity or what that means, but he's going to be available. So that's good. I didn't hear anything about anybody else. However, so anyways.
Well, they only ruled out what Kalen Ellis and Trevor Pena.
Okay. Well, there you go. Trevor Pena was the one I was thinking of. So
yeah, they brought up Isaiah Jones.
Yeah.
Joe Moore.
Right. Okay. All I heard was Joe Moore. Was that all in the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I get for not paying attention. And you know, here's the thing. One, I'm not listening to it twice. Two, I generally speaking never get anything out of it. So that's what perked my ears, and I missed the rest. But I heard the good news, which is all that matters. So we'll have to see. Not for anything looking for a fresher Garrett Trader just all around, and maybe some fresher legs in the receiving core, fresher hands as well. Can't hurt. So typically speaking, Dino not great out of the bye, you know, and I think they won it last year, but last year was the one that they actually won. But before that, it had been a minute, if I remember right. So historically speaking, not great, I guess. We'll just keep it there.
We're coming out of the bye?
Yeah. I think we actually won it last year, and I couldn't tell you who it was against, but I think we did. So, because again, last year, I believe it came after we went 6-0.
NC State.
Okay. Right.
And that was like the one thing that we spoke about is, it's always difficult, right? But looking at some of these teams now, because I know that we went back and forth with it, and I know this is kind of a random conversation, but we've talked about non-conference, like your schedule and where you schedule it, right? And we've contemplated, and if, you know, you start off, and I know I think I've been guilty of saying it, okay, you start off with this easy one, you get going, and then you ramp up the next week, then ramp up the next week. But some of these teams I've noticed, they have scheduled their D1 AA teams like later in the schedule. Like,
not a bad idea.
Because now when you look at it, it's almost like a bye week, another bye week in the middle of the, you know. And then I look at, you know, having the D1 AA game the first game. I mean, that's kind of taking away a chance of having an easy kind of, I don't want to say bye week, but you could sit some players and it's not as serious later in the season and almost use it as like a 2-bye week type situation, which I think some of these bigger schools are. But just looking at last year, like we had our D1 AA, then a bye week right after. So I don't know if that was part of it. So
could have been. Not the case this year, though. Also, I don't remember the last time we played anybody coming out of the bye that was also on a bye, which is...
Well, that's the other thing.
Just figures. So, anyway, all right, well, let's talk about the Virginia Tech Hokies, okay? Look, they got their own struggles, but, you know, they're a team that is, you could argue they're getting better, okay? The all-time series between the Orange and the Hokies sits at 11-8 in favor of Syracuse. The Orange took the inaugural meeting 20-15 in 1964. Then the last meeting in 2021, Schrader 16-34 for 236 yards through the air, two touchdowns, passing, 22 carries for 174 yards on the ground for three touchdowns in the 41-36 win. Coach Brent Pry is in his second season. He's trying to turn this Hokies squad around after spending 8 years as the Penn State defensive coordinator. The Hokies coming off of a 3-8 season last year, that season equipped with a loss to ODU and a 7-game lose streak, and also they only won one game in the ACC in 22. And an inevitable change, I think, for especially for Hokies fans at quarterback, from the stationary Grant Wells to the mobile Baylor transfer, Kyron Drones. It was suspected, I think, at the beginning of this year that there was going to be a, you know, Grant Wells was probably going to start, but it was going, he was going to face some pressure. And finally they made a decision early in the year. I think it was week three to go ahead and put him in. It's a team that, like Syracuse, kind of struggles a little bit with the offensive line, and putting Drones in at the helm gives them a little more versatility, some much needed offensive production and depth to the offense itself. The elusiveness of him, you know, is giving the Hokies fans something to cheer about, because it was looking pretty bleak pretty early for the Hokies starting the year. He was responsible for five scores in the Pitt game. I think it was a 38-21 win for Virginia Tech. Yep. And he had three scores through the air and two on the ground. He's the second leading rusher on the team, only 16 yards behind Bashel Tootin, who has 360 and three TDs. Tootin, transfer from North Carolina A&T. He's in his junior year. I don't know how much time that he has left because of the COVID stuff. There's no telling. Is it 3 years? Is it seven? I mean, you never know. You know, it could be six. Who knows? A leading receiver, Jalen Lane. He's a transfer from Middle Tennessee, so bulking up some of these spots on the offense with some transfers. He's got five TDs through the year, 341 yards receiving so far. Leading tackler from last year, Dax Holyfield. He's gone. Filling that role for him this year is 6'5", 220-pound linebacker Kelly Dawson. He's in his third year as a Hokie. 59 tackles so far this year, juxtaposed to his 23 for the entire season last year. So, now, the numbers are skewed, as they really always are. Joe can elaborate, but Virginia Tech's total defensive rank for the year so far after seven games is 43rd, and Syracuse's is 77th for total D. Total offense for the Hokies, 88th, and for Syracuse, 62nd. So, you know, they have started to get more production in offense, but they still, like, being that it was, this started in, like, week three, transition really started kind of week two a little bit. For it to happen so early, you think it'd be a little bit more. I think still trying to find some having some pieces come together and whatnot, but with that offensive line struggles, and I got that from I can tell you in a second. I read some of the Gobbler Country. That's Virginia Tech's SB Nation blog, and there's not a whole lot there. The guy that writes likes a lot of words. I think he gets paid by the word. So if you can just skim through it and find the good parts, you can learn a little bit. But, you know, they've got some issues with their offensive line, just like Syracuse. You know, they've been hit on some pretty harsh penalties too. They've had some guys ejected more than once this year in some situations, and they've shot themselves in the foot numerous times. But, you know, through the last couple of games for them, despite a loss against Florida State, beating Pittsburgh and beating Wake Forest, and we know Wake Forest is kind of trash, but 30-13 handling beat them at home. You kind of really don't know exactly what to expect. Honestly, Joe, this is a game for Virginia Tech that, you know, it's a night, the night game for them, and it's at home. It's going to be electric. They've had a couple weeks off or a week and a half off, and they have that going for them, and that's huge. Coming off of a bye, I think that that is, this is the perfect situation for Virginia Tech to kind of get over a hurdle, right? Not a whole lot of consistency this year, and Syracuse being a pretty decent opponent and someone that I think they generally despise, the fan base, you know, if you want to be honest, the old Big East rival, right? Not too much of a rival in the Big East, but they spent some time there. What was it, Joe? Like 2 years or something like that. So it was a short stint. But with that said, you know, they were in the Big East together. You know, we
it was
did,
longer than that, but
was, yeah. It wasn't long though. It wasn't long. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I just don't remember it being a long stint there. But you know, you go back to the Whose House Our House upset in the dome against Virginia Tech. You think about last year and how close, or well, 2021, the last time they played, and how close that game was the whole entire time until, you know, Syracuse just hanging around and then beating them at home. There's some motivation there. There's motivation for Syracuse to win, but just to play devil's advocate, as far as Virginia Tech goes, they've got something to prove just like Syracuse. These teams are, albeit Syracuse has a better record, these teams are in a similar spot as far as how they're perceived by the fan base, how they're perceived by the media, and all of that, right? So,
agreed.
You know, in their defense isn't terrible. And Joe, you can get into that, but I don't think their defense is terrible. They did lose some key players from last year, but both of these teams hungry. Both these teams need to win. And so I see it as a grudge match. I do. And what Syracuse cannot do, which is what they've done the past three games, is just start slow. I don't even want to say fall behind early. They can't even start slow. You can't have those moments early
well,
in the game.
I think that there's like, I think there's a difference between, I mean, I think that you are allowed to start slow sometimes, but it's like, don't be fast about it. Don't be sloppy about it, right? I mean, I guess that's my whole thing, right?
You can start slow, but you have to be efficient.
Right. Like, okay, if you don't score, but you start off
move
with
the
a
ball.
Five-minute drive, right. Punt the ball, and then, okay, now they got to go 80 yards for a touchdown. Okay. But don't give up a defensive touchdown or fumble in your end zone or go three and out in less than
right.
a minute and
I was just
put your say. Defense back out there, right?
Like, orange is the new three and out. That's what we don't want to see this game.
That's what we can't – no. And we saw a little bit of what we did. Like there was – it was a little vanilla last week in parts of it before the state, but I think that we need to get to that point. I think we need to get to a point to where we're relying on a running game a little bit. I mean, LaQuinn Allen is putting up decent stats as far as yards per carry. And to get to down and distance, you know, early in second and third downs to make it favorable so you're not third and 10 or third and longer, I think that's it's a very crucial thing that, you know, obviously can keep drives alive and keep our defense off the field. So, yeah, that's really what we got to do. I mean, last year we had a stint where we played Clemson, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, and Florida State four in a row. And that almost ruined our season. And this year it was a little bit, you know, smaller, but Clemson and UNC and Florida State, we can't let those, you know, losing to those three teams, you know, beat us for the rest of the season. So we talked about it, the bye, good time to have it, not really knowing, right? In hindsight, it's easy to say now. But, yeah, it's really hard to gauge when you look at the rankings, right? Because we looked at it, our first three opponents, four opponents, we kind of took care of, and remember, we were up there, top five, top 10, defense, offense, scoring, defense and offense anyway. And then we played three really good teams, and it kind of completely flip-flopped that kind of stuff, right? So I don't think Virginia Tech has played three teams, you know, that are as good as the three teams that we just played.
They haven't.
Looking at their record, I mean, it's kind of difficult. I mean, you look at Old Dominion, Pittsburgh, and Wake Forest, who were all, albeit at home, those are the three worst teams on their schedule that they've played so far, the three easiest games. And in both those games, they scored over 30 points. And, you know, they won. But with the other games, when you look at home against Purdue and at Rutgers, at Marshall, and at Florida State, which are they're solid, you know, solid teams. They lost those, and the highest point total that they scored against those teams, the four best teams that they've played, was 17 points. So,
well, yeah, their offensive production's not great.
Right, and that's kind of where I'm alluding to, is I feel like, you know, we've played Purdue and we beat them, right? Rutgers, Marshall. I mean, we played Purdue at Purdue and beat them. They played Purdue at home and lost.
Yeah.
But again, that was the Grant Wells in, right? That was before Drones got in there.
Yeah, that was also a game that was a winnable game, and they didn't.
Like, oh, yeah.
They had that game until they didn't.
Right. So the way I look at it is, like, again, they struggle to score against good defenses. I'd like to think that our defense is more in the Purdue, Rutgers, Marshall category than the Old Dominion, Pittsburgh, Wake Forest that gave up 30-plus points, right?
We're still 62nd in defense after
between the three, yeah. So yeah, it's going to balance itself out. You're not going to know till the end. And even then not everybody plays the same strength schedule. So that stuff is kind of flawed when you look at it. You kind of got to look at it as an individual basis, team to team. But, yeah, no, I mean, Drones, he's been running the hell out of the ball and, I mean, throwing all right. It looks to me like they kind of – they pounded the rock with runs and with quarterback runs. And then, obviously, he probably drops back and then scrambles like Schrader does. So their offense, to me, is kind of very similar. I mean, they run a lot, and it looks like they try to hit Lane with some play-action stuff. He seems like a competent receiver on their end. So, I mean, that's what we have to worry about, but it's definitely stopping the run. 100% is what we need to worry about. And then obviously the big play with that. But then also too, I mean, I know that you brought up on defense Lawson, who's a tackling machine. But Antoine Powell Ryland, a D lineman that I listened to the Virginia Tech coaches pre-game press conference. And you know, his nickname is APR, but this guy has got, you know, forget the tackles because he's a D lineman. He's got 7 sacks for the season and 3 forced fumbles. So on defense wise, you know, obviously they got their linebackers that lead the team, obviously, in tackles along with Jalen Stroman, the safety. But that D lineman, he can create some havoc, and he's got sacks, got into the quarterback, and he's forced fumbles. So that's another guy that we have to worry about. But, I mean, yeah, this team, I mean, it's very comparable to us. I mean, a lot of these last 5 games, it's hard to see where teams really are. I think we figured that out this past week in college and in pro. Is that just when you think you got a team or you got some teams nailed down to who you think's better than somebody else, then the game completely shows you something different. So, it's going to kind of be like that for the next 5 games because these are all winnable games. It's just you look at who we played and what we did offensively and defensively the first 4 games, and then when you play 3 of the top 5-6 teams in the ACC, we see what happens, and now we're kind of back to in the middle of the pack, like teams that are a little bit better than the first 4 teams we played, but not as good as the teams that we just played, and I don't really know. It's hard. It's hard to really judge where we're at. But I know that so far we've looked better. Virginia Tech just hasn't played a 3-game stretch to where they played against teams like us.
They haven't, and they're going to have their. They're not going to. They don't have a stretch like that. They don't have to play a stretch like that this year.
No.
But
they have looked better the last three games. I will give them that.
They've looked better, but you know, a lot of teams have looked better. And I'm waiting to see, you know, when is Syracuse going to look better? Talk about getting back to the way we looked before the losses.
Yeah, but you got to look at opponents, man. Yeah, I know. I mean, you're not going to look better against better teams.
You can't get better though. I mean, no, I'm saying
no. You can get better.
Exactly. But I'm just saying I don't even feel like I have a real good gauge on Syracuse. I've watched every second of them so far this year. And here we are going into the 8th game of the season. So, I mean, I think
that's just because we've played such wide variety of teams.
That's my point.
It's like how good is Purdue and all these other teams? Like, yeah, I mean, LSU just beat Army 69-0, right? Like, I mean, I don't
know how good are these teams. Purdue stinks.
Right.
One of their two wins was against Virginia Tech.
So when we went from playing those type of teams to now we're playing teams that are probably going to get 10 wins or possibly get 10 wins, probably not Clemson anymore, but just tough. So now we're back to...
How about UVA? That was a great game.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I was gonna hit you up on Saturday, and I was gonna put a little side bet. I was gonna have a little side bet with you. I wanted to pick the games. I wanted to pick the ACC games this week with you and see who did better.
Well, and I don't know. It's only a text away. I mean, it seems pretty lazy for you not to just do that.
I was busy, and I had it written down, and then I never got to it. And the game started, and I was like, I was wrong on a lot of them.
I'd have never picked that, but that was the one I wanted the most. I mean, I'm not lying. I wanted to see UVA go in there and beat them. I just thought there wouldn't be a snowball's chance in hell. And they did it.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, though, too, that, you know, you could chalk it up to every, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then. You know, UVA, I don't think, is a team that's on the rise. They could be getting better, but they're not beating the 10th team in the country at home better. You know, they just executed. Offensively, they executed. They could have put them away way earlier. There was a fumble in the end zone. Or at the one that rolled out of the end zone. So, and they still came back to do it. And they had UNC's defense exposed. I mean, quite simply, that was the game.
Oh, yeah.
But it's what we should have, would have, could have done to UNC, too. But our offensive pass game seems so vanilla.
It just didn't make sense to me. To me, that was North Carolina kind of,
blowing it off.
Getting complacent, I feel like, yeah, dude, because honestly, like, Virginia's been bad.
Well, at some time, you got to hit the panic button, and they just didn't.
It's just Virginia's been bad, dude. Like, to me, that was more like, especially where I thought North Carolina was, that was like a blind squirrel with no legs found a nut.
Like, just that's crawling through the forest, I mean, like, with his arms.
Like, I would have picked North Carolina to win. I would have picked Georgia Tech to win. I thought Pittsburgh was going to win, and I thought Clemson was going to beat Miami. So I'd have been 1-4.
I thought Clemson was going to beat Miami too. I mean,
it's just hard to gauge this early as far as where everybody is and how, and every team matches up differently too, you know? But again, it's going to come down to stopping each other's run games, I think. And then obviously who's going to make the big plays, you know, the Garrett Schrader, he got interviewed, the little 2-minute drill thing that he did or whatever. And they were saying that him and Alford had some good practices on, you know, Sunday and Monday. So,
I mean, coach said the same thing, but he also, the caveat was, but they've had good practices though. Okay. Well, when, you know, I mean, you know, I get it. And I think, you know, I think that there obviously is tons of potential on the offense. It's just, I mean, I don't have an answer. I'm not a coach.
But I mean, there were some little things in there that he kind of threw in where it was like, okay, like he wasn't going to answer. It seemed to me like they were talking about some personnel type stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think that there might be a situation where there are some changes. I don't know where they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to be subtle. But he obviously wasn't going to talk about it. So,
yeah, well, it'll be exciting. It's going to be nice to get back at it and to get back at it early. You know, I'm in a Thursday night game. Of course, I'm not going to be boozing it up too hard, you know, as if it were a Friday or Saturday night game, which would be ideal, but it'll still be fun. You can have fun without alcohol, Joe. Jeez. Why so sad? All right.
I didn't say anything, so I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not what you said. I can see you. I can see how sad you are about that. Joe said he's going to drink anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to. I'm just going to be responsible.
Yeah, right.
What?
All right.
Come on, bro. By the way.
Oh, boy.
Virginia Tech in the Big East Conference from 1991 to 2003.
Oh my gosh, was it that long? Holy cow. That's kind of crazy. Interesting.
Yeah, I just think that they weren't great back in the 90s.
Well, it was basketball in our, Donovan McNabb days is in there. So yeah. They were, Virginia Tech was probably somewhat irrelevant. And, our basketball and football teams were
Virginia Tech tremendous. Basketball was definitely not good.
Back then, that's why I don't even remember them playing basketball.
They were.
Basketball. So, anyways, and that's crazy because, you said 03? 91 to 03? Yeah. So
I remember it late because I remember playing against Michael Vick and, those type of quarterbacks. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to put money on that, I'd have lost. All right.
Yeah, you would
have. I would have. All right. It's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you. The loud mouths from the loud.
Oh, yes. That time of the week. The dreaded question. Final score predictions for the upcoming game this week. Syracuse at Virginia Tech. We're all glad. The last 3 weeks have passed with a break in between.
Four.
With a break in between.
Oh.
And now we can focus on mediocrity. And that by mediocrity, I mean our opponents.
Our schedule.
Yes, our schedule. So, the worst is behind us.
By the way, only ACC team without an ACC win right now, thanks to that Virginia-North Carolina win.
Go Hoos.
Yay.
I would have taken anybody, except for
Blind
Duke.
Blind squirrel with no legs won an ACC game before us.
Well, whatever. Better them than no one.
It doesn't make any sense.
I better have them. I mean, of course you want to win, but I don't want to see them win. So if they lose, if they beat us and they lose every game from here on out, I'm fine with it. I'm sometimes, yes, exactly. It's confusing, right?
Very confusing.
Yeah, I know.
I just didn't want to be
I'm a confusing guy. I haven't even figured myself out yet, Joe. So don't try to figure me out.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Jim. All right, Jim.
Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. How about it? Okay. Let's get this over with.
What?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They're not that bad. I looked at a couple the other day. Well, I put it out yesterday. So yesterday evening at DKags on Twitter. They aren't allowed to lose when I'm in attendance at a road game. It's just the rules. 34-27, Syracuse. Yeah, you don't, generally speaking, don't pick yourself to lose at a game you go to. I fully understand that myself, actually. So, 40-7. At no Blanchard 44, 28-10, Cuse. Hopefully this episode comes out Wednesday morning, so all the Cuse fans like myself who are traveling to Blacksburg can listen on the way down. The boys are well rested, so we should handle the Hokies fairly easily. If not, I'll eat crow. Look, they're well rested too, and that's the problem. And it's night game. Here's the thing. It is a night game, but it's not a Friday night game. It's a Thursday night game. That's a little better. In my opinion, that's a little better. So
no, I mean, that's kind of a Virginia Tech tradition. Thursday night. I mean,
they've done it.
It gets
but
wild
it's,
there, bro.
It does, and they've done it plenty, but it's not.
You can't rain on this guy's parade either.
Shut up. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
Be able to listen to us on Wednesday, and you're already
you're such a peckerhead. You're such a peckerhead. That's not what I'm saying. When was the last Thursday game that they had? Okay, they had one last year. Okay,
they have one pretty much every year.
2021, nothing. 2020,
COVID.
Nothing. 2019, yeah, it wouldn't have mattered, right? 2019, no Thursday night game. 2018. So 2018, 2022, 2023. I understand. I get it. I get it. It's going to be rowdy in there. It's going to be raucous, if you will. And Syracuse is going to have to handle it. Because it's going to be loud. It's going to be very loud. That place can get extremely loud. So, anyways. What else we got? Where was I? At Baptized by Fire, 7. Syracuse 24, Tech 13. Syracuse plays keep away with a dominant run game. Okay. Well, I mean, I could see it. They got a decent run game too. When that's, you know, they got a decent. They're starting to figure things out. Hopefully they haven't like figured it out. I don't think they have. I really don't.
No, I mean, look, there was people that are talking about their offensive line, you know, and they have the quarterback and everything. So they might start to figure it out. But at the same time, I feel
they don't have all the pieces. Let's put it that way.
I mean, not even all the pieces as much as, I mean, again, we don't know. We're not like avid fans, right? This is almost like a situation where, you know, you wish you had Gio on here to give us all the ins and outs of how healthy Virginia Tech is, right, and everything like that. But I feel like we had some banged up guys, and we run kind of a different kind of defense that you don't see every day. And, you know, this could just be a situation where Virginia Tech's offensive line kind of has figured it out against certain defenses, but maybe the different nuances that Rocky Long brings with the 3-3-5, it might pose them problems. You know, you never know.
It's possibile. That's
possibile. I think it's going to be big Italian plays, for man. Really,
it's possible. At Keller 03-01-03, annoying Cuse in Buffalo play on the same day of the week at roughly the same time. Well, what the hell happened to Buffalo? Let's talk about that for a second. You didn't give me a score, Zach. Zach knows the game too, and I know he does. But what happened to Buffalo? The Patriots? Come on, dude.
No, I mean, dude, And I know Patriots fans weren't even happy about that at work. They were like, man, we didn't want to win. Like, because they don't think they're going to do anything. They want to get a quarterback. They want to, you know what I mean? They had Brady and Bledsoe for so long that they're like, nope, this Mac Jones dude ain't it. I want somebody new next year. Give me a Drake May or a Caleb Williams. They're ready to go. But
yeah. Well, they're annoying. Talk about annoying, Zach.
I'm just saying, look, that game doesn't start until what, like 8:15, 8:20, 8:30, something like that.
8:15-ish,
and
NFL
goes longer. So, and hey, look.
That's why you just got to get
two TVs set up, brother.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you, dude, the YouTube TVs changed TV at my house. I have a TV. I just carry it with me. And then wherever I go, I plug it in.
I told you it's a game changer once you figure it out, right? I told you.
Look, you want a TV in the bathroom? Boom. TV in the bathroom. No wires. You just got to plug the bitch in. That's it.
What TV? Put your phone.
You got an iPad. You can do that too, you know?
I mean, Spectrum could do that, but at that price, who wants that?
I don't know what price you pay, but I know what I pay for YouTube TV. It's like $300 a year. I think the NFL ticket was more than what I pay a year for the subscription.
No, right now.
Right. Well, right. Yeah, until it catches on, until all you bastards get it. And then they raise the prices.
Hey, hopefully we can get grandfathered in or something like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, doubt it.
At Embo 21, 24-20, offensive plays better after the bye week. The D wins the turnover battle. Let's go Orange, beat the Hokies. And, you know, you have to imagine that this defense can definitely give this offense some problems. Syracuse's defense given Virginia Tech some problems. I think they can contain drones. Talented guy. I think maybe he it's not, you know, a sealed container, but he might get away a couple times, but I think they're going to be able to. I think that's where the game is going to be right there, because it's going to have to be. I think Syracuse needs to score, possibly even have to score on defense to win the game. They are coming off a bye week, too. They're motivated, too. They're at home. Place is going to be packed. It's going to be loud. So, you know, that stuff factors in big time.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, they both are the same type of players. Drones at 6'2", 231, that's a load. I mean, he's not a small guy.
No. And he's quick.
Yeah, and he's quick. And the other thing is the bye week, it allows you to put in different wrinkles, right? I mean, there's a big, big, like, coaching advantage when it comes to a bye week like this, because, you know, you have you have double the time to look at basically the tape of the teams, right, for the what they've put out there for the season.
Yeah.
So now you have to sit there and, okay, we're going to make a game plan to stop that. But at the same time, you know Virginia Tech's going to put in wrinkles and they're going to try to do – because now you have double the time to maybe throw in some extra plays, make some personnel changes and all those type of things. So, again, I'm a little weary on coming around and just saying, oh, it's going to be 24-20, 24-21, you know, 17-23. Like, those would be the guesses if you just looked at – what the season has been so far. But with 2 weeks, there's some things that you can do. And I'm hoping that Dino Babers and his coaching staff can win that battle, because both teams are going to come out with some stuff that they haven't shown. So
yeah, hopefully Syracuse rewrites their offensive playbook. Give them something they've never seen the whole time.
We ain't going to rewrite the whole playbook in 2 weeks, but you can definitely put some different wrinkles in there.
Yeah, it's got to get a little bit more creative than it is now. I mean, just like period going forward, regardless, bye week or not. At Cuse Waterboy, 2. Syracuse 27, Virginia Tech 14. Offense gets right with Trader throwing. Allen goes 120-plus all-purpose, and the mob dominates. Me and the boys tailgating for hours in Blacksburg, surely to get into it with locals feeling frisky. Well, okay. I don't know where they're sitting, but there is a very strong Syracuse section there. It was strong when I was there. So hopefully they're over there and then we can avoid all of that.
Right.
He's not even going to be drinking and causing trouble. That's something right there. Don't feed him alcohol, for crying out loud. At our Boris, 9-37-24. Offense performs much better than we've seen, though there will be still some drop passes, unfortunately. All comes down to Gadsden's absence. Defense seals the win for us with some key turnovers. I mean, this guy reads my mind every week. That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, maybe the defense has to score to win this game, but it's going to come down to how well the defense is playing the game.
Definitely get turnovers.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. And if, you know, I know the opponents were different, so I don't need to be reminded, but I'm just saying we had some missed opportunities on defense to get some early turnovers. In fact, 2-1 drive.
That's what I mean. Like, that's not even, like, we've been super opportunistic as far as the defense this whole season up until, like, recently, where we were still opportunistic. We forced the fumble. We put ourselves in position to make the interception, right? But these last three games, we didn't take advantage of those opportunities. I mean, we saw footballs go through people's hands, hit face masks, through a ricochet football, hit four different players and didn't get intercepted.
Yeah.
There's a fumble that hit four different people that didn't get recovered.
You could put the clown, the circus music soundtrack to some of those.
You absolutely could. But at the end of the day, they're still making the play. It's just the finishing portion of it, you know?
Right. You gotta,
and so it's just getting over that hump. It's still there. You still see him ball hawking. You still see him grabbing for balls. And trying to get interceptions, put themselves in positions to make those turnovers and make big plays. It's just sometimes you put yourself in that position and the play still isn't made, and it's unfortunate. So, as far as face,
hold on, I got one more, and then I'm done.
Oh, really? That's it?
God. Well, I mean, I could do more.
Then hold it.
I can. All right, fine. Correct.
Because this is just because I only have 9 comments, and a lot of them are. I'm just going to roll through.
We are screwed on Facebook, and it all comes down to there being a bye week, me not posting anything. So you try to post something, no one sees it. The Chance Westry thing, by the way, we're not going to probably get to see him play this year.
Not this year.
And so I post that, like 3 people see it, and then I post this, and then you know you get 9 comments, and it's just like it's like a freaking part time job. Remember what your cousin was saying in Chapel Hill when he's like, you guys got to be better on the socials. Like, I don't got time for the socials. I don't. You have to literally be on there. Like, you have to be posting 5-10 times a day to get traction.
Right.
And
at Facebook at this point, I mean, we're pretty much assuming what's going on with us, right? On top of the fact that
that has
turned into actually more poisonous than Twitter at this point.
That's so crazy, because Twitter used to be the spot where, like, this is a garbage heap. But, all right.
I mean, look, I mean, just going through, like, again, I'm just going to say, like, top fan, Dave Raleigh. I'm going to say it because I'm living Raleigh. But he's got Syracuse 24, Virginia Tech 23. There's no meat there, but at the end of the day, he's a top fan, so I'm going to, you know. Top fan, Sabo, almost impossible to win a night game in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech 23, Q16. Mm. And then there's a bunch of stuff with, you know, with no substance, but Bob, maybe, from Facebook, just says all SU. And then we have a trio of Greg, Virginia Tech 40-14, Fred, Virginia Tech 24-14, and Mark, Virginia Tech 71-2.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Come on.
And then, yeah, exactly. So we have Nadal, who...
Our buddy Nadal, fan. Big basketball yep. fan.
Do we do. And again, this kind of goes to this. He says 23-6. Full disclosure, I'm just waiting for basketball and haven't seen the past three games. That being said, I have listened to you talk about them, and they don't seem that good against the odds.
Do we make it sound that bad?
So he didn't really say who won, except for with his sentence at the end there. So I was going to give him crap for not saying who's going to win, but then he kind of told us that, yeah. But he listened to the past three games. So, yeah, I just – and our buddy Andy Stewart, who was the guy that was talking about selling his tickets to Florida State and then went.
Yeah.
He's been on – he's a
– yeah, he's trying to sell tickets to his Virginia Tech game too?
No. No, I don't think that's the case. No, but he's been giving us some good stuff. Andy, just still not a top fan yet. When he is, then we're going to have to give him his dues. But he says, Syracuse comes out struggling on offense like the bye week didn't even happen. The defense is well rested and shuts down most of Virginia Tech's offense. Pump fest and low scoring until the fourth quarter. Syracuse is able to break a couple big runs offensively late in the fourth. 16-14 Syracuse. I'll be there, so fingers crossed, not expecting the best performance.
This dude just travels up and down the East Coast. I wonder where he's at.
Hmm?
I wonder where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's from Florida.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. That's a long trip, though, from Florida to Blacksburg.
Hey, man, if you got it like that.
Maybe he's a traveling vacuum cleaner salesman. He just happens to be.
I doubt it.
I don't know, man. You never know. You never know. It's still a popular thing.
Better be the Roomba.
Yeah. That reminded me of something funny. I'm not going to say it, though. all right, let's see. At J Happy 5 Tep, Virginia Tech by a million. Cuse football is garbage. That's nice. Real nice, Jay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. At Dunn 4732676. This is going to be a hard pick. At least the Orange leads the series, but I've been through all over the decades, whether in the Dome or at Lane, and I will be again in Lane. Okay. You said it's going to be a hard pick. Is it so hard that you forgot to do it? Or is it so hard that you just didn't do it? Which one is it? Because there's nothing else there. But Sarah, we appreciate you for participating. I think you are the only woman on Twitter. I'm going back to look right now. And I think she is. She's the only woman on Twitter that gave us the time of day.
Sometimes a comment like that's better than just a guess, right?
Sounds about right. Huh?
I mean, I said sometimes a comment with some stuff in there is better than a guess.
It's better than, right? like this one. At Given Life, I don't know. It's spelled funny. 2720, I see you. I mean, that's great. But
I think it's going to be low score. I mean, right now it's interesting because Virginia Tech opened up as a 1.5-point favorite. It's moved to 3,
yeah,
which means that the bettors are still they're betting Virginia Tech. Over under 47, so that's really calling for kind of a low-scoring game, right? So, I mean, that's a 24-23, that type of game.
Oh, man. Look, who goes first? Because you almost just nailed my score, by the way. I'm just going to say that right now. I go first. Yes, I do. Wait. Hold on. What was the score? 41 to 3? That was the score of the 40 game?
Florida State game?
Yeah. Was it 41 to 3?
Do we have to repeat it?
Yeah, we do. I need to know it again. I think it was 41 to 3.
41 to 3.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Yeah, so I had 38-17, you had 30-13, so I do win. So, with that said, it was 3-3 going into that game, and I'm going to come out 4-3, me, going into this game, and I'm going to receive. I think it's going to be low scoring. Like I said, I think it's going to come down to defense, for our defense, and I think our defense is better, despite the ranking, Joe, so I totally agree with you with that. I don't think they've been tested that bad at all, you know, by a defense, that being Virginia Tech. And I mean, Syracuse's defense, when they're playing their best, is better than any defense they're going to see so far this year, except for Florida State. So I think Syracuse can do it. I'm really hoping for them to come out of this bye and start to turn things around. I feel like they have to. And plus, I did pick them to win this game at the beginning of the year. And if that would be the case, and they end up 5-3, I will be perfect on my preseason guesses so far this year. Okay? That's all.
Oh, no, good for you.
Good
for you.
So all of that's going to change, though. I think I see one in the future. I definitely got wrong. But with that said, I got 24-20 Syracuse. In a could be, who knows, pick six to win the game. How amazing would that be?
Any pick six to win a game.
Okay, Joe, can you just let me have my moment? All right, okay, it's your turn to pick. You can have your moment. Jeez, guy ruins everything.
I can't. Look, when I win, you rush me along. Like, it's not a big deal, right? So I let you have your moment. You were on your soapbox, all right? Are you good?
I'm good now.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good.
All right, Joe. What do you got? You're down one game. It's tight again this year. So what are you thinking? By the way, while you're thinking about it, because you probably don't even have it written down yet, because you're waiting to hear mine, so you could make your own up. Using my expert pick knowledge to conjure up your own pick by piggybacking off of what I say. With that said, I think that what we're going to do as far as... Why are you laughing? I think as far as what we're going to do is as far as a... post game goes is probably be Sunday again. There's no way we get back here Friday. I just want to say that right now before I forget. Cause trunk or treat in my kid's school Friday, Saturday is just not great for me.
So, yeah, we always got stuff, right?
Yeah. So Sunday.
On top of that, I mean Friday Syracuse has got their first exhibition at home against Damon at the JMA Wireless. I mean the Carrier Dome.
The Carrier Dome.
So, you know, there's that as well, you know, to look forward to. So, you know, hopefully we're going to have time to go back and watch that so we can speak on that come Sunday. So we'll do that. And
that's an ESPN3 thing?
I don't even know.
I don't even know if it would be on that.
Oh, yeah, no. ACC Network Extra. So that should be an ESPN3 thing. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, this game is just tough, in my opinion, because I look at, like, college football as, like, there's, like, an upper tier, and then there's, like, we're not good at all, and then a whole bunch of people in the middle. And we went from playing kind of not good at all to upper echelon to now we're playing teams that are similar to us, and I don't know where we are. I don't know where we are as a team. So this is, to me, like one of the most important games probably of the season moving forward, because I think that this game is going to tell us a lot.
For both teams, too, I think.
Well, they've had their fair share, right? And they don't have a gauntlet. When you look at their team, when you look at their schedule, I mean, I'd hate to be Virginia Tech next year because realistically, when you look at it, they got Louisville and they got Florida State. They don't have Duke. They don't have Clemson. They don't have North Carolina. They don't have Miami. That's all going to be on their schedule mm-hmm. this year. So at the end of the day, like, they've played against a lot of similar type teams and lost in one possession games. But to us, it's just like I feel like the difference of teams that we played in the first four and the three, they're not really in the same level of us in the next five games that we're playing. The fans are up in arms, obviously, calling for Babers and losing three in a row. They're getting PTSD of what happened last year. Don't want it to happen again. We don't want a stretch of three or four games to just ruin the rest of the season for us. So coming out of a bye week, especially knowing that you get your guys healthy, guys that are banged up, get them good to go. You know, Garrett Schrader, he said that they're as healthy as they've been since probably the beginning of the season or earlier in the season. And obviously, this gives the coaches a chance to put in a couple things, to look at some personnel, to change some wrinkles, because obviously whatever we've been doing, albeit against good teams, haven't been working. So this game, to me, is a crapshoot. Like, just like to what our, you know, the one female commenter on Twitter said, Sarah, was that it's almost like I don't even want to guess because I don't even know.
Yeah, it's a hard one because, like I said before we went live, I was my point about, like, I don't even know what this team really looks like yet. I mean, we kind of do, but we haven't seen anything that's like really been in the middle. You know, Purdue. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But
and Jones has been good. Yeah, Jones has been good, but there's been teams that have been good enough to beat him. But
by the way, Purdue's not in the middle. Purdue stinks, guys. By the way.
I didn't say they were in the middle.
No, yeah. I did. I'm correcting myself. Yeah.
But it's like Drones has played good against similar teams and they've lost, right? So it's, are we going to be able to step up and do the same thing? Drones, it seems like he's going to get his. They'll break some plays.
He's someone that you're not going to be able to contain the whole game. It's just you have to most of the time, right?
Right. And that's the same thing with Schrader. They're in similar situations, so... Yeah, with that said, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be...
Jeez, give me your score already.
Oh, wow, because you didn't get a chance to say something, huh? I'm going to go over the over. I'm going to go with Syracuse 27. No, I'm not going to go over the over. I'm going to go with Syracuse 27. I'm going to go Virginia Tech 17.
Okay. All right, write this down here. Okay, well, we'll see what happens.
I just feel like, again, all the losses that they've had, they've scored 17 points or less. So it's hard for me to go past that.
I mean, even Schrader said the week before the bye, you know, that he alluded to something about the identity of the offense. Like, you're in week seven, and we're still talking about the identity of the offense. Like, that's troublesome to me.
That is. It is. And like, that's why we spoke last time in the last podcast about how big of a role Rondé Gadsden had in this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just to hear that, but to hear that from the quarterback and for him to just be feeling that so much so that he actually just came out and said it.
But you can almost see it in some games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's something that you would normally keep in, you know, unless it got to a point where you're just like, look, I don't know. You know, you lose your best receiver, NFL, no doubt, receiver eventually, and you're struggling. And here we were in the beginning of the year going, well, that sucks terribly. But the amount of talent on this team, I feel like someone's going to step up, if not one, two. And, you know, we're going to be okay. And here are still trying to figure it out.
I think part of that is not having a running game, right? Like Schrader keeping so many of those, you know, options, or not just saying, give it to LeQuint. Like, I think that last week we were on the right track. I mean, halftime it was 17-3, right? I think that we were on the right track. And last week you could tell it was one of the first games where we actually made a point to run the ball, take some time off, not go so fast. And I think that we were onto something there. and it kept us in the game for a while against Florida State. But we're not playing against a defense that's as good as Florida State for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, give him the ball, right? Like, if Dino Babers in his press conference is talking about how LaQuinn Allen is like a three-down like NFL back, well, then treat him as such. You know what I mean? Like, you see these NFL running backs going out. They're going out in the slot, and they're going and catching balls. They're going out, getting spread out, coming back in, taking draws, doing options, stuff like that. Like, if he's a three-down NFL back, then treat him as such.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's got to get more involved. I mean, that's kind of been what I think they've been trying to do. But I think I just feel like at this point, I feel like we would have seen him more out of the backfield catching balls than we do. Because they're always in, I feel like a lot of times they're in desperation mode. Just the past three games is recent memory, and I got the recent memory bias. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're doing the tight window down the sideline thing as far as you can chuck it to your 6'5 receiver, and it's beyond the level of where they are right now. They just they got to keep it more simple, but it's got to be productive early, so it doesn't force them to get into a position where they've got to be getting desperate. Yeah. And that's kind of what I mean. What I meant by, you know, not starting slow, not just going down too quick, but starting slow in general. And to your point, you know, just to sustain a drive, even if you don't score, to sustain a drive and not go three and out, take 5 minutes off the clock, and move the ball, change field position, start over again. Yeah. You know, all of those things lead to scoring. If you don't do it right off the bat.
There's plenty of games that start off slow when it's 3-0 at the end of the first quarter and nobody's done anything, right? Both teams started off slow. You're not out of the game. But, I mean, the key is you start off slow, go 3-and-out, they go score, you get the ball back, you turn the ball over, then they score 3 plays later, and then next thing you know, you just spotted the team 14-0. So not only do you start slow, but you just spotted them points, right? And then you're not sustaining any drives, you're not taking any time off the clock, allowing your defense to, you know, look, you know, talk to each other about what's going on out there, what do you see, what can we make adjustments, get some rests for the next, you know, that all happens in between possessions. And if you don't give them but a legitimately 2-3 minutes of real time,
they haven't caught their breath yet there,
that's what I mean. They haven't caught their breath yet, let alone even talk about what they're seeing out there and trying to